In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1976, 30 years ago, on the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, Bishop Dolan was a newly ordained priest. He was in Detroit to offer Mass, and Mass at that time was offered in a rented hall. So Bishop Dolan prepared and preached what he thought was a pretty good sermon on today's gospel of the Samaritan to the faithful there. After Mass, he was speaking with some of the faithful, and one of the faithful parishioners came up to him, a traditionalist old-timer on the Detroit scene, a man named Bill Fisher. And Bill is a bit of a character, and he's not shy about expressing himself. So he came up to the young Father Dolan, holding his St. Andrew Missal open and saying, "Oh, well and good about your sermon, Father Dolan. But when are you going to explain today's epistle to me?" Now, I think if I offered $10,000 in cash to explain today's epistle and said, "Meet me right out here outside," not one of you would be able to explain to me what it actually meant. It is surely the most obscure of all the post-Pentecost Sunday epistles. However, it is dedicated to the solution of one practical problem. The Galatians, to whom St. Paul was writing, were deceived by half-converted Jewish preachers. Their teaching was this, that the way to submit to Christ was through submitting first to the Jewish faith, submit to circumcision, take part in the Jewish rites and practices. Now, the Jews had twisted God's original promise about the universal Redeemer. They had twisted this to mean that salvation would come only to the Jews. This led to a pride in their nation and race, and led to a desire for political as well as religious domination of others. St. Paul is writing against this. He teaches that the promise of redemption has a universal character. It's not just intended for the Jews. This ties in with a point that's easily missed in today's gospel, which tells of the 9 Jews and the 1 Samaritan who were cured of leprosy. It was the Samaritan who came back to thank our blessed Lord. Samaritan was actually an insult that was concocted by the Jews against these people. It meant a half-breed, someone who was not a true Jew, a true member of the Jewish race. Today, I'd like to speak a little bit about this and about racism. Racism is manifested as a sin in many ways, where we believe the intrinsic superiority of one race over another. Or we despise another race. Or we deny natural rights to another race. Or we deny supernatural rights to another race, that is to say, the possibility of salvation. Or whereby we desire to dominate another race. The Jews were racists in the worst sense of the term. Now, God did not reserve salvation for one race. His will was always universal. God did choose one nation to be the deposit of revelation until his Son would come. But the Jews misinterpreted this as meaning that only Jews would benefit from the Messiah, and that others would profit from the Messiah only if they allowed themselves to be dominated by the Jews. Now, the central theme of the gospel is against this. The theme is Christ's universal love and his desire to save all men. The Jews are still racists to this day. We see Zionism, the state of Israel, and the fact that they are racists is a reality, and it is very much contrary to what you hear in the liberal-controlled media, which has a very strong pro-Jewish bias. You see this when you talk to people who are on the receiving end of the Jews' racism. There was a tailor in Detroit near the seminary when I would go up there to whom I'd bring my cassocks for repair. And he was a Palestinian Christian. And there are many Palestinians who are Christians. And this man was from a village in the Holy Land, which had been taken over, of course, in 1948 by the Jewish state of Israel. And he would tell me all sorts of terrible stories about what went on about how the Jews treated his people, the Palestinians. And one time when I went to get a cassock repaired, his brother from Palestine was there, an older man, maybe in his mid-60s. And so he described all this stuff in great detail. You know, you don't realize, Father, the exactly what they do to our people over there. That there's a type of apartheid and a type of separation. Whereas the Jews are free to travel as they will, the Palestinians, supposedly citizens somehow of the same state, are the victims of a type of apartheid. And there's special regulations to govern them. They have passes. You can't pass freely from one part of the country to another. Palestinians are constantly made to stand in line to cross these different internal borders. So he had all sorts of stories about this, and he said that three times Jewish soldiers invaded his house. And the last time that they invaded, which was not that long ago, they actually shot him. This old guy who was doing nothing. I remember a meeting people who were Lebanese as well and or who were Palestinians when I was in Europe as a student, and the stories that they would tell. And I also recall a story of Bishop Dolan and I. Many years ago, we were taking a train in Italy, and there was a pleasant, sort of sad-eyed young man who was sitting in the car and wanted to talk with us. He was a medical student. Turned out he was a Lebanese Christian Arab. He was a Roman Catholic. So he was telling us his life story. He said his grandmother had been a Jew from Poland. And she used to tell this young boy that we Jews are the chosen people, that we Jews are the superior race. You don't realize that. So he had heard this, and he was in Beirut when, in 1982, the Jews had invaded. He was 10 years old, and he was in the church, the Catholic church, and the parish priest tried to prevent the Jewish soldiers from desecrating the church, and they shot the priest in the legs in front of the altar. And this kid ran back to his apartment building, and the Jewish soldiers arrived and marched all the men off to the camp. And this kid watched as a soldier shot a pregnant Muslim woman before their eyes. And the Jewish commander said out loud, "That's one less Arab." And the boys, this kid among them, were herded to the basement to determine whether or not they were circumcised. And the soldiers then walked over them, saying that we're going to walk over you to victory. The student said that he never forgot the commander's name and never forgot the hatred in his face. Mind you, that was 1982, not 1942. But for this, as for so many of the Zionist atrocities, there are no holidays, there are no school courses, there are no monuments, and there are no special museums on the Mall in Washington. This med student told us an interesting ending to his story. He was sent to a work camp in the hills with his family. And there was a young Jewish soldier there who was one of the guards who befriended him. But then the young soldier, when this was discovered, was punished and he was sent on a hardship assignment back to Israel. Several years later, they met again in Padua. And the Jewish soldier was coming to on a scholarship to medical school, and he ran into the Christian, who had grown up by that time. He had no place to stay, so the Christian took him in. 3 days later, someone from the Jewish scholarship committee called the former young soldier and told him, "Don't live with a Christian." Now, the young Jewish student had told no one. So the Christian med student said to him, "How do they know? You know, I didn't tell anyone. You didn't tell anyone." And the response he got was, "Well, the intelligence service, the Mossad, always knows." God wishes all men to be saved. This is the only reason why any of us are here on this earth. For that reason, we have to put aside prejudice in the sense of prejudging. Remember, there are always exceptions for individual persons. The Samaritan certainly was seemed to be an exception today. But do judge in this sense. Judge and understand what the underlying causes of problems in the world are today. Sin, pride, and the devil. Anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church. Reject the lies that are fed to you by modern society, by the modern culture, especially the modern communications media, especially, we have to say, in our country, one that is dominated by Jews. Christ and the church alone are our hope, not secular liberal democracies. The church alone is the force for true salvation, for true human rights, for true justice. She alone has the answer. There is no limit to the mischief made by her enemies, Christ's enemies in the world today. So don't be misled. In terms of salvation, every man has equal value in the eyes of God. Color, civilization, science take the back seat to this. Sin and its consequences are the source of wickedness in the world today. And those races that are highly civilized have but one object and one role in God's sight, and that is to lead the less civilized to salvation and to their proper place in the plan of redemption. There ought to be no false pride of race or birth, truly, for a Christian. His place is on his knees before Christ, with whomever else, like the Samaritan, will come and give glory to God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.